It's so good to get that live connection. We just thrive on that. But you know, gathering is not a non-essential event. Gathering is an essential activity. It's not non-essential. Is that making sense? Gathering, what we're doing now, is an essential thing to do. And just for a few minutes, I just want to encourage us all in what it is that this season can look like, I believe, for us as the Church of Jesus, where we actually are in a place, I think, is a place of threat to gathering. It's quite obvious. Just on Monday, we found out from PCYC, our venue that many of you have been to, who are regularly at the Hive. And by the way, we just want to welcome in anybody who isn't perhaps always in our Hive space. So good to have you joining us online today. But on Monday, we found out PCYC is shut and excuse me, the place is like a ghost town. We're able to get in there just before they lock the doors for an unknown period of time, and we're able to get some drums and bits and pieces out of the building. But it's so important that we keep gathering. The church is in danger today, I believe, because for the first time for a long time, we can choose to legally stay in isolation. And legalized isolation is a danger for us as a church. And I believe today that it's important, so important, to realize the necessity of finding ways, as strange as they might look. This is pretty strange. I'm talking to something called Logitech at the moment, but I'm talking to you. Gathering is an essential activity. And there have been 8,800 subscriptions to one online platform that's getting used by churches today across the globe. 8,800 new subscriptions as the Church of Jesus finds new ways, new platforms, new technology to actually do what we're doing now. And it's so important to gather and to join. Fellowship is actually who we are. It's a word that is somewhat kind of a little bit archaic, the word fellowship, but nonetheless, it is actually defining who we are. I love how Jesus says, and if you want to write this down and come and look it up, you probably might recognize the scripture, Matthew chapter 18, verse 20. I'll repeat that. Matthew 18, verse 20, it says, "For wherever two or three gather or come together in honor of my name, I'm right there with them." So isn't that good? We can be really confident. Jesus is right there right now with us. But gathering is an essential activity. I spoke to my dad during the week, and my dad lives in Yass. Some of you know, have met my dad. He's 89, and we were just chatting, and Dad sort of said this quote from Acts 2:42, and I thought, it's a good word, Dad. Acts 2:42 talks about the early church, that they continued steadfastly. They continued steadfastly. I believe we're in danger of discontinuing our steadfastness in this season. I believe we need to ramp up in our hearts the significance of knowing that we need to continue steadfastly in fellowship, as the scripture says, I quoted from, in the Apostles' Doctrine. In other words, the fundamental core teachings that the apostles taught about Jesus, about the gospel of Jesus Christ, his death, his burial, his resurrection. We need to continue steadfastly. But is it not true in this kind of weird time, it's so easy to not continue, and particularly if we have to use new technology. Some of us who are baby boomers like us, some of us in the room, new technology is a bit threatening. It's a bit intimidating, and having Zoom phone calls or working out how to press stuff we've never used before, it's actually can be challenging. But I encourage us all in this time that looks different, in this time where there's so much fear that is getting broadcast, and so much uncertainty, so much that is actually affecting so many of us, and no doubt you in the room. So, you know, those of you who are working from home, those of you who have maybe even lost jobs, maybe you're struggling to keep, you know, kind of mental health today. Whatever it is, I encourage us as a church, we must continue steadfastly. So how do we do this? It's in the scripture that we must honour Jesus' name. We must honour Jesus' name. Someone has said that in essentials, unity; in non-essentials, liberty, and in all things, charity. In other words, let's drop anything that could stand in the way of us getting on the phone and ringing someone up, getting on the phone and maybe FaceTiming. Let's forget our differences. Let's forget those things that might be small shades of maybe theological difference. I don't know what they might be. Let's forget those things that might be personality differences, and let's press in and join up. You know what I'm observing, that in this day, more than ever before, I'm finding that that the people that I sometimes reach out to, I feel like I can't actually get to pull you out of your burrow, and that's understandable. We've actually kind of been forced into a space of isolation, but let not isolation mean relational separation. It need not. It need not. It need not. This is a time in the early church, they continued steadfastly, when if they met, they'd be put in jail. We're not in that situation, right? They continued steadfastly, where if they met, if you've seen some of that stuff that is actually about the early church, it was a dangerous thing to meet. And today we can meet and we can stay safe. You need to stay safe. I encourage you to stay safe. I encourage you to do all the things that are wise in social distancing. However, let not that prevent us from meeting and from gathering and from honouring the name of Jesus. Because when we do that, then there is an agreement together that salvation, according to the scriptures, exists in no one else, for there is no other name, isn't this good, under heaven, by which we must be saved than Jesus. You know what's happening right now? Jesus is presencing himself in the midst of our gatherings. Jesus is not limited by time and space. Jesus is not limited by these circumstances that are kind of putting us into a virtual space. Jesus is not limited by that. And I'm just releasing in faith right now into your lounge room the presence of Jesus, because the promise of the word is that when we honour him, we've been doing that, right? We were worshipping, we were singing. You've put time aside in your day to schedule a way to gather and to honour. When we do that, the promise of the word is that God will come. He'll presence himself. And today, I encourage us all to keep on gathering. And today I encourage you even now to have expectation in your heart for what it is that Jesus might say to you in these remaining few minutes, what it is that might happen as you turn off the program in a little while and you just sit in your lounge room and you keep on thinking. Because today God wants you to know that his presence is real, and that even now across our live streaming, there is a presence of God that's getting transmitted. I believe in faith, I release that. There's a grace that is going on. How wonderful for us today to actually have in our hearts a desire to connect with each other. So I encourage us across the church today. I'm talking to some of you who aren't necessarily part of our regular space, but you're part of the church. We all belong to this church. Let's drop denominational differences. Let's drop things that would be barriers in the past to us connecting. And let's go out of our way to make more connections than you would normally have done. Go out of your way to ring somebody, text somebody, FaceTime somebody. You know, just on Friday afternoon, in a socially distanced, appropriate way, a mate of mine and I, we met up for coffee and we sat in a park. And in this environment where there's less connection, I'm sure you know this, but when we do connect, it is way richer because we've been deprived of it. And I believe we're coming into a time on the other side of this weird thing called coronavirus. We're coming into a time as a church where some of us in the past have taken for granted the ease with which we could turn up and connect if we wanted to and gather. I believe we're going to be hungry for real-time gathering, and I believe that God's going to come and presence himself. I had the best conversation with my friend we've had in several years because we actually were both hungry for connection, and we both wanted to honour Jesus, and we both wanted to let him be part of our space. So I encourage us today. It is an essential thing to gather. This is a day for new ways to gather, and this is a day for you and me to be intentional in how we gather. That simply means reach out, connect, make contact, care, love, and in Jesus' name, our church, the church of Jesus, will go forward. I'm just going to pray before I hand over to Eve, and across the live stream now, I'm just going to believe for a greater grace to be released. So if you would want to join me in a prayer, what that might look like right now is for you just to open up your hands toward heaven. And wherever you're sitting, whatever space you're in, just to receive. So, Father, I thank you. I thank you today. God, your presence is real. I thank you, God, for the promise of your presence where gathering takes place. I thank you, God, for ways that are provided through technology for us to gather like this. And in the mighty name of Jesus, God, I release a great grace over every house. God, I release a great grace into every life. God, a great grace into every family. God, I release, God, a sense of hope and expectation. God, I release even now, God, across the airwaves, God, a grace for healing. God, right now, God, a grace, God, for greater faith. God, excuse me, I release a grace, God, into every heart to bind up fear. God, to bind up the enemy's works. God, to bind up, God, every plan of the devil to bring about destruction and to bring about harm to the church of Jesus. We thank you, God, for the promise that is in Scripture that the gates of hell shall not prevail against the church. And we thank you, God, that the church is going forward in this time. God, we look up with expectation, God, for what it is and how things will look in future days. God, we know that this is a great day. God, this is a day when as a church we can still gather. God, we can still go forward. We can still encourage one another. God, we can still impart. God, we can still care. And so we thank you, God, for that great grace, that enablement from heaven right now, and we receive it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. So you can give a big clap to Evie if you feel like doing that. And here she comes.
Thanks, Niall. That's great. So we've got more. Can you cope? Are you all right? Maybe this is time for you to get your drink. Right, here we go. Now this, I think it's actually a prophetic word. And which always makes me a bit nervous. But I've at the beginning of, or at the end of last year, David gave what he felt the Holy Spirit had shown him for 2020. And it was that we would, where have I got it? We have entered into a new act. The curtain has gone up. It's not built on anything from the past. It is totally new, different, and unfamiliar. And I thought that was an unusual word, especially the bit that we weren't going to build on the foundation we already had or we knew about. That's usually how we build. And I think we're starting to understand what that word's about. We are in a season where we've never seen anything like it. We've got nothing to sort of reflect on that looks or can help us with it. And this is the first thing that the Holy Spirit said to me: don't let fear bury you, but faith lift you up. Now, I've been saying, I'm not fearful. I'm not fearful of this. And you know, walking around the shops and et cetera. But at any rate, on two nights ago, David says, oh, I've got a bit of a raspy throat. And he said, well, it's a bit cold today. Well, and then he said, I've read people, this coronavirus, it starts with feeling cold. Well, I sat up in bed and it was like a button got turned on. I said, well, you just get yourself straight out of bed. You go and gargle with warm water and salt. Make sure it gets right down to the bottom of the throat. I said, then you get the manuka cough, honey. I said, let it drip right over your tonsils and down deep in your throat. I said, and by the way, you might as well take all those, what do we call it? Tablets. No, what are we taking? Oh, echinacea tablets. Take the whole bottle. I realized immediately fear was not very far away. I just went into this role and I realised pretty quickly, Eve, fear is just under the surface. Don't live with fear. So that was the first thing that I felt the Holy Spirit say. Because fear, it is something that we all have to look in the face and stare down and say, no, that is not from God. Because otherwise it can take us over. We have to look above the negative fear-mongering rhetoric that only brings us hype and no hope. And we have a leaning towards bad news, really, you know, to the hype type stuff. And I felt like the Holy Spirit was saying, you've got to keep in touch, but you don't have to be led by it. You don't have, that doesn't have to be what is your information that you live out of. And he also, the Holy Spirit said, if they say you have to stay at home and you may have to be isolated in a room, can I, so the question was, can I let my faith believe? So he posed a question, can I let my faith believe for better, for bigger, for beyond, for far reaching, for far horizons? Now, all that this season is about is making us small and bringing us back in, you know. Can we refuse to be boxed, restricted, limited by these curfews? Wow. They were fairly big sentences, and all I could think, the first thing I thought of was Joshua. Can I be strong? Can I be courageous? Can I be very courageous? Because really, that's what is needed. That's right. So Romans 11:33 says, who could ever wrap their minds around the riches of God, the depth of his wisdom and the marvel of his perfect knowledge? You know, don't think that God was caught off guard with this or that he's not on it. He's totally covering it. Who could ever explain the wonder of his decisions or search out the mysterious ways he carries out our plans? That statement's very important, I believe. How he works out, the mysterious way he works out his plans. For out of him, the sustainer of everything, came everything. Now everything finds fulfillment in him. Now, we thought that we were going to live our lives, build our lives, plans would come forth in certain ways. Well, that has all been, you know, flattened, and we are on in a totally different paradigm. I believe, and this is the these are still words that I heard on this download, that creative juices, flashes of inspiration, inspired thoughts can be revived, realized, released out of these unprecedented times. Our worlds have been turned upside down. Nothing, the ground we walk on has shifted, has moved. Nothing is the same as it was 2 weeks ago. I saw this funny meme, I think they call them, and it was if we keep doing something the same way, so that's not a meme, that, but you've heard this statement, this little two sentences, if you do something the same way, you are sure to get the same result. So whether we like it or not, we have the opportunity to do things differently. We mightn't have been able to choose it ourselves initially, but it's arrived. It's here. It's forced change. And I know a lot of you out there won't like change. You know, change makes you feel out of control and you're not sure how to deal with it. Well, I feel like God is giving us a few ideas. Because I know some mums, they thought they were stay-home mums looking after kids. Or went out to work, and looked after their kids when they were home. But now they have to be a teacher, a school teacher. They have to be a science teacher, a maths teacher. They have to be able to learn how to deal with kindergarten information, spelling and reading. Dad has to land his business in a home which is full of mum and kids. It's not easy. This was a meme. A boss said to his one of his employees, who was a family man, he said, look, I'm going to give you a few ideas how we can go ahead from here, and you've got a choice. He said, A, you can take your business into your home with your family and wife. He said, B. In other words, that was not going to work. He would take whatever the B was. He didn't know what it was even. Doing our life as we have been has, and I know this because I've been living it. We have been like, you've heard, you get on a merry-go-round, you can't get off it. There's been a crazy spin of schedules, programs, work demands, kids out of school, extracurricular activities, all sorts of things, shopping excursions, social family events, you name it. But we haven't had a clue. Not always having a good clue, I haven't had a clue, how to stop, how to slow down, or how to change my direction. I believe that God wants to refresh our capacity. He wants this creative thing to come forward, thinking, so we can think new ideas, believing anything could be possible. Sometimes we've lost that because our heads are going crazy. And I believe, and this is the Holy Spirit says, these things have dried up and have become unrecognizable, nearly forgotten, blurred, or at least in the background. And I feel like the Holy Spirit is saying there's a shift, there's a change, there's an opportunity that we have been given to us. I believe that creativity can be revived, realized, and released. I'm sure of it because that's what I've heard. As everything has changed, which forces us to have to think differently, navigate unfamiliar schedules and workplaces and technology. That is my big challenge. And, of course, the Holy Spirit was speaking to me first, but I feel like it is a bigger word because there's things that I feel God's been asking me to do that I have not been able to do. And I'm starting to feel a shift inside me through this whole process. And technology had a lot to do with it. And I have balked and I feel like there's things that He's wanting me to step into which I haven't done and haven't been able to. Now, I saw in the paper on Saturday, yesterday, hold on, artist inspired from hibernation. Woohoo! They're onto it. I think they must have heard the word. And there's another one, windows on the world. The world has changed, but behind closed doors, there's a cultural wonderland at your fingertips. Wow. How about that? Wow. God is on to something. Do you know what? God is consumed with us. He wants to bring us out of this unprecedented times. More of how He has designed us is what He wants. You know, we've been working in part of our design, but you've got to know there is more. There is more for all of us. Like our verse said, out of Him, the sustainer of everything. He has been sustaining those seeds that have been within you, those dreams, those visions, those discernments, that sense that you have that there is more for you in your life. You are designed for more. There's no doubt about that. That more place is where the battle has been fighting. There's been a fight in that more part place. And a fear can get in on that more of your design that can sabotage and paralyze us. We have been shaken beyond the imaginable, which I believe is giving us space and reason to find the longings and desires of our hearts. Do you have faith to believe this? Everything finds fulfillment in Him. I feel what God's saying is, don't let this disruption have that we have all been thrust into. We didn't choose it. We've been thrust into it, cause us to be consumed with fear. That is the worst virus we can have. God is wanting to erupt inside us all the things that He gave us from before all time that we haven't tapped yet, we haven't touched, we haven't had the inclination, we haven't known about it, or we have known and we haven't been able to have the or to move on it. And I'm definitely in that category. But I believe this is our hour. This is our time. This is a time for each of us that we have, well, I just could never have thought that I would get a feeling of release in something I've struggled with through this. And I'm just thankful, to be honest. Now, we know that out there is a virus. There is something that people are catching. But I believe that there's a bigger, much bigger picture to this. And we want light on this, not darkness. We want future on this and hope and not paralysis and not feeling like there is no hope. I feel God has spoken and He says, I want to ignite these things within you in these moments that you've got where you can't run around and do the normal things. It's not normal anymore. This is the new normal. Hebrews 11:1 says, faith brings our hopes into reality and becomes the foundation needed to acquire the things we long for. It is all the evidence required to prove what is still unseen. We can't see what I'm talking about probably yet, but we will. And I feel the challenge for us is, can we let faith lift us up into what is entailed re our future, or are we going to be buried by fear? And I'm excited about what God, and we could not have seen Him working what He wants to bring forth like this, the mysterious way He brings His plans through. But we can trust Him. We can trust Him that when we have faith, we will see hope. When we have hope, we can walk in faith. And I just believe there's so much that God's going to bring out of this season. And please talk to us. Text us, email us, let us know, have you got some dreams and some aspirations and some ideas that you haven't touched yet, or that you know that this is the season, or you've been thinking about, or as it happens in the next weeks, please let us know. And I'm going to let you know as I keep walking this out, because I must, I'll let you know more, I'll let you in on more of what it's all about. So, God, we thank You. We thank You, God. You do all things well. We thank You, God, You've got us in Your hands. We don't have to fear that we're out of control. What we're seeing in the world is feels like it's out of control, but we don't have to go to that place. And I just pray that You will help us to think about in these new spaces that we've got, that we will say to You, Holy Spirit, what are my dreams? What are the seeds that You've given me of ideas that I need to think about, that I can start, maybe I can start writing, maybe I can start writing a book, writing down ideas, thinking out of the box that I've never thought of before. Maybe I'm a singer. I'm going to practice where nobody's hearing me. Whatever the ideas, they I pray, God, you'll protect them, but you'll bring them to the surface, and we will see you do great and mighty things through this season. Amen.
So it's been great to be together today, hey? And really love every one of you. Thank you for joining in. I want to say a shout out right now to Richard's parents who are in Perth, in Geraldton, Perth, who apparently are watching. Mr. and Mrs. Freeman, we thank you so much for letting us be in your lounge room today and for making a way for this space to happen. So lots of love, everyone. We're praying for you. And Mark and I are just going to share that new song that we did a little earlier. If you'd like just to keep it on in the background, or to stay worshipping with us, please do. But after that, it's coffee time, right? And so have a great weekend.
Love you.
We'll see you next time.
You're still my rock, secure. I keep believing in who the way, the truth, the love. Ever present, there's none like you. So I rest in you. I keep believing, keep trusting, keep loving you. I keep believing, keep praying, I rest in you. I keep believing, keep trusting, keep loving you. I keep believing, praying, I rest in you. I keep believing in who you are, the way, the truth, the life,
ever present. Jesus,
ever present, there's none like you, so I rest in you.
We rest in you, Jesus.
So we rest in you.
Rest in you, Jesus.
So we rest.